You are listening to the Punk News Podcast, and we are here with John Jughead Pierce, and we've got breaking. I thought I had breaking news, but John's got even more breaking news. So we're going to open with one of John's breaking news songs and come back and ask John about his breaking news, which I think happened today. John, did your breaking news happen today? It happened today, I think a couple of hours ago or an hour ago. And even though John's got breaking news, he's here for the Punk News Podcast, which just goes to show how people worship at the altar of the Punk News Podcast. And no matter what happens in their life, they have we'll talk about it in a second. This is a brand new song by John's fake new band, which is now a real band. The band is semi-famous, and the track is called Clown in the Window. And it's off the brand new album by semi-famous, which is out on July 26th. And the album is called Destroy Ourselves, and it's by the fake, but now not fake, real band semi-famous. Clown in the Window. Let's rock.
I like your description of that. That's accurate.
John, do you want me to break the breaking news, or do you want to break the breaking news to the Punk News Podcast listeners?
Oh, I could say it. It took me 57 years, but I finally found a woman that I love and proposed. And I came to one of our first dates was here in Kobe, which is in Japan, like a little outside of Osaka. And we're big into the movie Aladdin. So I actually got her a genie lamp. And Winnie the Pooh is a big character, too. So Winnie the Pooh pulls the rings out of a genie lamp. And then I also did we're very into art, like drawing for each other. So I did a whole book of all our anniversaries, like pictures and colored pictures of stuff. So, and she said yes. So
that's well, our new how news. Romantic. So John, so draw this out. Are you guys at dinner and you like pull out this lamp or how did it go down?
No, I did it in the morning because we had a whole day planned of, there's a lot of cool things to do in Kobe. So I did it in the morning after our showers and we were clean.
So you were like, check out this lamp I found, like open it up.
We love these, I don't know if you know, Lindt chocolate, L-I-N-D-T, but they have those balls that are amazing. So I got her like 100 of those in a big Winnie the Pooh bag. And then I start playing the Whole New World, you know, Aladdin song. And then I walked her through the book that I made for her. And the last, it's really complicated, but the last page has a thing that says place lamp here. And then she pulls it out and then the page pulls over the lamp and it says, marry me. And then you pull out the rings. But Tinkerbell had the rings.
So cool.
Did she say yes or did she say no?
Oh, she said yes immediately. She started crying even before, but just when the music went on. So
and
in a good way.
Did she have an inkling this was coming over the past few months or so, or was it a shocker?
Well, the funny thing is, I've been planning it for a year, and I've been purposely not talking about it because we almost had to do it a couple of years ago because she's from Japan, I'm from America. And during the pandemic, we were separate for a year. So we almost had to do it just for logistical reasons. But I said, I don't want to do that. I'd rather do it, a surprise when it's more passionate, more about love. So we waited. We were away for a year, and then I didn't talk about it this whole year, just to keep it secret. And then, so she was surprised, but no hesitation though. So that was good.
Well, John, congrats, John. And like I said, John, thank you for coming on the Pungus Pocket. How long have you been
Not a
going out?
problem.
How long have you been going out with this woman for? Years, presumably.
Yeah, this was our 50-year anniversary, right on the date that I proposed. So yeah,
So
5 years.
it's John's fifth year
Wow.
anniversary, and he proposed hours ago, and he's still coming on the Pungus Pocket. So thank you, John. So
You're welcome.
we will try to make this as much as a sales pitch as possible. Because
Yeah.
John's got a real cool album coming out. The album is called
John,
Weasels in a Box. And what
I
it
love
is.
your show, so we could talk about anything you want. I'm sorry I have to leave early, so.
No, well, I definitely want to talk about the new project, because honestly, the new project is like super interesting and super clever. And it's levels upon levels of meta conceptual. So listen, people, here's
Yes.
how it works. About 15 or 20 years ago, John wrote a book called Weasels in a Box. And it was, and I'll let John rebut what I'm going to say. But according to most people, oh, and actually, I'm going to read a really funny review too. The book from 15 or 20 years ago is a fictionalized account of John's time in Screeching Weasel. And it's mostly true, about 80% true, according to most readers. And there's other bands in it that you can kind of figure out who are the real bands. Now, 15 to 20 years later, John is reprinting the book via Rare Bird Records. That's going to be out on July 26th. So is the record called Destroy Ourselves. And the band in the book is semi-famous. John has now assembled musicians, including Ryan from Mixtapes, Polly from Bomb Pops, Tyson Cornell of Rare Bird Records on drums, Billy from Unseen, and he's made a real recording by a fake band from a fictionalized book about a real band, and that's what this is. And of course, the record has similarities to the sound of Screeching Weasel. It's got some other stuff too. But if you were into Screeching Weasel, if you are into pop punk, if you are into, I'd say there's a little bit of what I would call maybe a tinge of psychedelic punk or psychedelic rock, kind of Red Cross kind of stuff. Then
Yeah, I could see that.
you will love this record. I think the record is real good. And so, John, did I get it right, John? Did I get these wheels upon wheels correct, or did I get it mixed up somewhere?
No, you did get it right. Meta is sort of my thing, and so but what a lot of people were saying, even Jim Testa said that this fictional book was even more accurate to how it is to be touring in a band in those days than most other ones, which I was really happy to hear. Because I wanted it to come true, as feel as real, but my experience was very surreal in those days. So I definitely wanted to make it a novel instead of just like a tour diary. So because a lot of strange things happen in the book that you would only happen in your mind, like oil puddles talking to you and stuff. So, but in there, I wanted to create bands that were like the real bands that I played with, and I even have like a timeline of fake bands in the middle of the book, which I loved. I love family trees of rock bands, so that was really fun to do. Make up names for like I think of like there's like a maybe 60 bands on there that I made up names for. Yeah. So then Tyson came to me the idea about making the band real. And one of the reasons I've did other bands like even in Blackouts immediately after is I don't like repeating myself, and I'm not Ben, I'm not Ben, and I'm not Dan Vapid, so I never thought I could write like that, so I avoided it purposely for like 20 years. Then lately I feel a little bit more liberated in that, and I still don't like I even say on the back of the album that I'm not those guys, so I can't write just like them, but I can do stuff inspired by it.
Yeah, I guess a lot of people.
Tyson loved the idea. Oh no, yeah, Tyson loved the idea. He runs Rare Bird Lit, so he just wanted to do a 7-inch. And so I did a song kind of ripped off of Dan Vapid's High School Psychopath called Middle School Monster. And me and Ryan had so much fun, and Billy too, that we just I said, Tyson, can we do a full record? Because he has his own studio there. So and he said, yeah. I go, I want to bring in some friends and make this real. So that's basically fills in a little more of the story. Yeah. But
And
you're right,
well,
it's very metafictional.
And oh, actually, what's it like kind of what's it like writing about a fake version of your real self? Do you kind of forget what actually happened, or do you get like how does that affect one's own psyche when you're purposely telling yourself and other people lies about you that you know are lies, but then kind of get mixed in with the truth? What's that like, wading through those waters?
Yeah, well, I mean, I gotta tell you, because you've left out that the audiobook is actually coming out. There's a reprint, but the audiobook I did for during the pandemic, I sat in my basement for a year and did that. That was a surreal experience because the book is in first person and second person. So actually narrating to myself, talking to myself, literally in a little room talking to myself is very bizarre. And 20, almost 30 years later for all those incidences in the book and stuff. So but while writing the book, I had to do it that way because I admittedly have very bad memory problems. I think I see the past more through art than history. And me and Ben were very different that way. Like he had concrete, black and white views of everything. So I think that kind of helped his memory. So the book is really about memory too. And so I talk to myself in the book. Like me and myself are two different characters, very different people. Like the I is a little bit more accusative, and the me is a little bit more artistic, almost autistic.
I want to read this Amazon review of the book and you can
Okay.
respond to it. This is
Yes.
by Scott from April 2, 2016.
Thanks, Scott.
And here's what he gave it five stars and he said,
Oh.
read, and here's the subject line. Read this book to avoid wasting your life being monogamous for 15 years. And here's his review. I haven't even read it all, but I did read Like Hell and Punk is a four-letter word. The latter brought a life-changing work to me. I then wasted 15 years being faithful to the same girl. I told her what an impact this book had on me, and then I needed to have her read it. 15 more years later, multiple cheatings, and she probably has forgotten the band's name. John, what's your response to Scott's review of the book?
Was she saying, wait, my book, or was it Ben's book that made him?
I don't know. I
It's
don't
such a
know.
bizarre thing. I don't know. I think a monogamy is a choice, and if you choose that, you need to stick to it, I guess. I don't think my book talks about that.
getting back, one of the friends, and I ask people this question a lot, and Emma will confirm
But
that
it
I
is, the
do.
book is about it. I'm sorry, but the book is about like compassion, because I wanted the real people that I met to stand through like friendships and like close calls with sexual relationships on the road, because I never did that on the road. So it really was about that in some ways to me, about romance, whether it's be friendly romance or sexual romance. So sorry, go ahead. I wanted to answer it a little bit more serious, so.
Well said. I like I said, I ask a lot of people this type of question. I think Em is annoyed that I'm always asking this question. But you said I could never write like Ben Weasel. I could never write like Dan Bappin. But I mean, this record is great. You've been a whole lot of other great bands. Why the first thing you say kind of put yourself down? Why not open with I always talk about Black Daddy, but Black Daddy's like, I'm a rock legend. I'm the best songwriter there is. And when he says he is, he is. Why don't you say, this is a great album. I'm an amazing writer. Check it out. Are you worried about coming across as too cocky,
No, I don't really like that self-deprecation in music. Actually, Ben does that a lot and is good at it. That's what a lot of people like. And I kind of avoided that in the writing. So it's kind of strange that I do say that. But I think I am very not confident with my pop punk skills. I think I'm a good writer. Mostly I'm a writer. Like a playwright and a writer. And I love music. But I've never thought I was very good at stringing along bridges and choruses that really click with people. So I'm not trying to save face. I really just don't think I'm nearly as good as those guys.
You teamed up with Ryan of Mixtapes and Polly of Bomb Pop sings on this record, and there's a bunch of people. I guess how'd you team up with how'd you team up with Ryan of Mixtapes, and why'd you choose Polly of Bomb Pops? How'd that all come about?
Well, Ryan, I lived in Cincinnati for a while when I was in a puppet company, and he used to work at a video store. So I always loved his band, Mixtapes. So I went to go visit him, and we became friends. And he would come to Chicago when he came to shows in Chicago, and we'd sit on my porch and just have a beer or something and talk. And then when this idea came that Tyson approached me with doing the 7-inch, he was the first person I thought of. because we wanted to work together anyway. And I love his writing. I think he's a very underappreciated writer, actually. So he was in right away. So we wrote that first song, Middle School Monster, together. And then Billy was a friend of mine for many, many, many years. He was my drummers from Even in Blackouts, one of their best friends, Bice's. And he's been in so many cool hardcore bands, and I always visit him in LA. So that was a given that he would be in, a part of it. Polly came in a little bit later because I was always a big fan of hers. But I finally saw Bomb Pops in Verduno Fest, and I was turned off by them. I didn't like the sort of LA feel to the band that I saw. The music is great. But her, I was like, I got to keep an eye on that one because she was amazing. And then I interviewed her on the podcast and we hit it off great. We talked like after the podcast for a long time. And Ryan, I've discovered, is more comfortable writing with a woman writer because he worked with Maura for so long. So I brought in Polly to sort of help work with him, and I worked with Billy more.
John's referring to Maura Weaver, who is now, I guess, solo Maura Weaver. She's also in a band called The Mimes, which is fantastic. And she was in the mix a mixtape with Ryan for a long time. There was something I wanted to ask you. I forgot what that was. Oh, now I remember what it was. We're gonna talk about this later on the show when John skips out, but we're throwing Ramones Mania with the 50th anniversary of the Ramones, and Joe Jack Talcum, the band, and Mikey Erg, the band, are gonna be doing all Ramones sets in Philly on July 27th. Of
Wow.
course, Screeching Weasel and Semi Famous, certainly an influenced by the Ramones. So the question is, do you ever get sick of the Ramones? You know what I mean? Because that is so that the Ramones are tied so closely to Screeching Weasel. Screeching Weasel even covered the first Ramones record, right? Which you're on. So do you ever get sick of the Ramones, or do you ever cool out on them for like 6 months or a year, or
Well, I
what, you know?
I'm still John, I'm definitely a fan of the Ramones, but I would say I'm the lesser fan out of anybody who's been in Screeching Weasel. I mean, like I know all the records. Well, actually I don't. I know the first five mostly, and then I kind of lost interest. So no, I don't, I still listen to a lot of the Ramones stuff to this day. I get more sick of people thinking that that's the only band I like. And I always get questions about the Ramones, and I don't know, I don't really know anything. I've never read a biography or anything like that. So
What are some bands that are driving your creativity right now, either old bands or new bands?
I'm always more driven by, I listen to a lot of folk music. Like Nick Drake has been coming back into my life. Cat Stevens. And I've been listening to a lot of Ben's writing, the old Screeching Weasel, just to get back in that vibe. So then that's also brought me back to like Angry Samoans and Circle Jerks. And I listened to Off because I think Keith has still got it going this many years later. He's very inspiring to me.
Keith
I that's
is
no, that's
not to
good. That's
pat
about it, I think.
not to pat Keith's back too much, but Keith really is an amazing person in that he knocks it out of the park with Black Flag. He gets quits or gets fired from Black Flag, knocks it out of the park again with Circle Jerks. That falls apart, then knocks it out of the park again with Off. I mean, he recently was touring Europe, and what was funny, DFL, Monty Messick and Crazy Tom. They were opening for Circle Jerks, and Keith comes out and start like is helping them set up their banner and stuff. He could just be sitting backstage drinking champagne, and he's out there helping the opening band set up their stage. You know what I mean? He really is an amazing guy, and I don't really have a, I don't know, Keith the man. I love. Anyway, are you sad that Off's breaking
Yeah,
up,
I think.
or is it the end of the cycle? You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. Well, yeah, one thing about people like Keith that are like that far of geniuses in music, they're hard to deal with, I would imagine. Like I was going to say, Jesse Michaels reminds me a lot of Keith Morris. They're just like insanely creative with music, and it shocks me with that what they come up with. But they're notoriously like harder to work with, which is part of some people's genius, you know. So it always makes
Well,
sense that eventually those people's bands will break up.
speaking of creative genius, we're not ending the episode, the interview just yet, but I do want to mention, Destroy Ourselves, the album, and the repress of paperback of the book Weasels in a Box is out via Rare Bird Records. I mean, Rare Bird Books, who also put out Architects of Self-Destruction, The Oral History, Leftover Crack. And of course, Sturgeon, of course, is a
Yeah.
creative genius and also very difficult to deal with. So what's your relationship with Ben like these days, and what's your relationship with Danny Vapid these days? Do you talk with those guys? You don't talk with them? Where do you guys stand?
Oh, Vapid has turned more into a friend, I think, after Weasel. Like, we became more friends. We communicate pretty often. The last year, we've been out of touch. He's got, like, lots of kids now and is busy with Sludgeworth. But we normally would talk every couple weeks. He does my podcast a bunch. Ben, I haven't talked to since 2006 when we had our hostile breakup. I've tried to communicate with him a couple times over the years, but he doesn't write back or call back or anything.
Is a hostile relationship useful for creative energy? You know, like everyone in, you know, a lot of the guys in Black Flag hated each other. I mean, just hated each other, you know? So is that useful for a creative environment, or is it actually detrimental? And the correlation between not getting along with your band members and creativity is a false, false relation, or however you phrase that.
Yeah.
Correlation.
I would say, John, that I'm not that way, but I do believe that a lot of people's creativity is driven by competition, and I really don't have that as much. I was more felt hurt by it all, so that kind of stepped away from it. Then a lot of things happened in my life a few years ago, right before the pandemic, and I had anger that I don't usually deal with, and that's when we talked about I did the mitochondriacs, and that led to me being a little bit more open to actually going back and listening to Weasel stuff. And having a little bit, and trying to gain some of that respect I have for Ben back that I had lost over the years. I don't think it's in competition. I think it's more in harmony, maybe trying to open up a little more to him. Like I had a lot of ideas earlier, like the original, like he doesn't own the Weasel. My friend Paul does. So we were actually had a Weasel on the cover and all these other ideas. And it was going to be a little bit more directly like a fictionalized Screeching Weasel. But then I started backing off of that. I talked to Massimo from the Mangies, who's a huge fan of mine and Weasel and the Ramones. And we all decided it was better just to make it our own thing. So I think I even eased more away from competition than originally.
John, I feel like you're a pretty sensitive guy. Would you describe yourself as a sensitive person?
Yeah, I cry. Yes.
Well, I don't even mean in that. I mean, I guess maybe perceptive is a better, I mean, I feel like I'm a pretty sensitive person in that you're perceptive of how people are treating you and how your actions affect others. I would think that you are more aware of how I would guess that you are affected by another person's actions to a greater extent than the average person would be. Like some people, like someone's an asshole to them and they don't care. Or some people you do a big favor for them and they just don't care. I feel as though you, if someone did something nice for you, would really appreciate it. And if someone was like mean to you or jerked you, you would feel that particularly strongly as well.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things at play there. But thanks, John. That's a good question. I grew up with my mom was very against the idea of hate, even the word hate. So I kind of already had that built into me. And there's a lot of chaos in the family growing up. So I had to try to be the one that was trying to stay calm while my other brothers like and sisters like beat each other up. And then I don't know if I believe in this like more mystically, but I am told that I'm an empath. And I think I do feel that like when I meet people, I can start feeling things that feel like they're their feelings, if you know what I mean. And I've always had that. I don't know what that is, but it's something that I think that you're hitting on with that question. I do feel like I know what people are going through, not technically like their lives, but emotionally. And that kind of helps me respond to how they're reacting to me, I think.
I've got one more question for you, then I'm going to throw it to M. And then after M has her question, then we'll wrap up the episode. But
okay,
you've lived in Japan a while, or you've been in Japan a while. Can you explain to me the difference between Nihon and Nippon? I'm astounded that a country doesn't have one name. You know what I mean? Or maybe you don't know the answer.
Well, it's actually Nihon. It's a H-O-N. They often switch out the H for, it's the same meaning, same kanji, same spelling, just that the H and the P are often switched out to make it more easy to say. Nippon is easier than Nihon. They do that with a lot of words where the H becomes a P or like like hako is box, but if you say kata, which is empty, they say kata bako. So they change the H into a B sometimes, but the kanji is still the same.
Oh, so it's the same word, just a different pronunciation. See, there you go, and we
Yeah.
got the answer from John. So it's like
Yes.
America
Yeah.
and America or something like that. You know, like me
Yeah,
America and
similar.
America. You know, fair enough. All right, well, there you go. There's the answer, people. There, I that is that that has been plaguing me for 5 to 10 years. That question. And you got any questions for John?
Well, you've come up with so many like really awesome like fake band names. How do you like generate them? What gives you the inspiration for those?
Well, I this is kind of, now I'm going to be a literary person, but I'm a not a I'm okay with Catcher in the Rye, but I'm a bigger fan of than just why I just forgot his name. I'm trying to answer this question, and
Salinger.
he has to, yeah, Salinger. I like the way that he played with names, like the Holden Caulfield. He wanted to be a kid, someone that like. Holden, like holding people, and Caulfield is like the outside of the brain. So he wanted to be like a protector of people, like a kid's. So I really liked names that resonated with some sort of meaning like that. So I've always played with that in my writing. But when it came to the band names, I either ch chose something that sounded like it or something in that respect that had some sort of meaning for me for how the band reacted in the world but it was mostly wordplay. Like, I mean, Flaming Faggots is easy. It's just Queers. That's the easy one. But, or, yeah. So they're all like that. Sometimes I just looked up another word for operation, and I found another, like war related word that had to do with that too. I
Yeah,
think
the
that's most.
thesaurus came in handy.
Yes, I love the thesaurus. Still do.
Than punk nude, it's like
I'm
our
really
most
obsessive with
used.
I'm sorry, a little, yeah, I'm working on my new book, and I it's really hard because I'm very obsessed with not using a word twice in a paragraph. I mean, it could be small words like it or the, but it's kind of an obsession with me. Like I'll go back and read stuff and go, oh, I use that word twice. Only if it's supposed to be emphasized do I ever use a word twice. So kind of drives me a little batty.
What's your new book about?
It's called the wow, the Lampoons, A Plight of the Lampoons. It was originally supposed to be
Cool.
a TV series that I wanted to do about a fictional family. I thought it might be interesting to actually do it as a book, like, and describe cartoon things, but in a real human way. Like there's this part where this
Oh,
woman,
cool.
the girl character, hits. I think I got lost. I'm sorry. We got lost
Yeah.
there, right, for a
Yeah,
second.
you're
It's okay.
saying, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just, I mean, I, yeah, I like describing cartoon things, but in real forms. Like this girl hits a mailbox, and her jaw like goes into the mail slot, and her arms go around it, and she gets all folded up. But I
Oh,
describe it
sure.
like she's really, really feeling the pain and the. Like what that's like to have that happen to her, and then she's embarrassed. So there's a lot of like human qualities given to like cartoon characters, and then there's a punk kid. So there's part of one of the kids that is on a punk sort of journey. So there's a lot of punk influences in it, but it's also just about home life and family.
When you watch cartoons, do you think, like, how are they feeling? Or was it just like, how do I describe
Not in
this
general.
accurately?
Yeah, how do I describe this? How do I use it as like a metaphor? Like it's more about the metaphor used for me than my reaction to actual cartoons. I almost also a huge fan of Roger Rabbit from the day, so I just love that idea of the, and Mary Poppins has a lot of that too, that cartoons and people together. So it comes from that sort of love of that sort of genre. But then I put my own existential twists on top of that.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, there you have it. John contemplating cartoons and their feelings. Wrapping up the interview, John's got a bunch of stuff coming out, and it's all, definitely check. I mean, if you like any of the bands John's been in, especially Creeching Weasel, but any of the bands that he's been in, Weasels in a Box, the album is coming out July 26th. So is the audiobook. And the album is called Destroy Ourselves. Weasel in a Box.
Yeah, that's funny you say that, John, because originally it was going to be called Weasels in a Box. That's why Ryan wrote a song called Weasels in a Box. But along with that change to get away from less weasel references, I went back to Destroy Ourselves, which was the original title based on Kill the Musicians.
And that's out July 26th via Rare Bird. And so is the book, and so is the audio version of the book, and you should check it all out, and it's real cool. I mean, you're going to dig it. It's real cool. One of the things I like a lot about John is he builds on his influences, but it's artsy, too, without appearing like it. Like, sometimes you listen to, an artsy record, and you can tell the person be like, I'm experimental. And you're like, oh, all right, you know what I mean? Where John is genuinely experimental, but it flows and doesn't feel forced. It feels like a natural expression coming from John. And it's real good, and it's snappy, and it's catchy, and it's good. So you should definitely check it out. John, last question. What would you like people to take from either the book or the album? What do you hope? What's something you hope they'll pick up on or they'll enjoy or think about or even something that might challenge them?
Well, for the album, I think that's more about enjoyment. I think I want people to realize that I think pop punk took some ways where it lost itself, and I love that music. So I wanted to bring that back, like my love of Clash and Circle Jerks and Angry Samoans. So I just want them to be an enjoyable album. There's some meaningful stuff on there. Like there's a song about Billy when he was going through cancer and another friend of mine who died. That's pretty serious, but it's all done in sort of a joyful love life sort of way. So it's not as cynical as I can be. The book is more cynical and dark and complicated, but I didn't want to do that with the record.
Well, there you have it. So the full breadth of human emotion as expressed through joyful pop punk, you will dig it. Which honestly, I mean, not to bring everything back to the Ramones or even the Circle Jerks, but they've got happy sounding songs that are actually super depressing, such as Operation by the Circle Jerks or Right Side of My Mind by the Angry Samoans, all that stuff. So anyways, it is yet another excellent entry in the pantheon of great, I guess, happy sounding, but perhaps dark punk rock. John, thanks for coming on the show, man. Always a pleasure to have you on. Congrats on the engagement. We'll have to have you on again real soon. It's always a blessing to have you on. And good luck on the record. I'm sure it'll be a big success. So thanks again.
Yeah, thank you, too. It was really a pleasure to talk to you, too, again. I love talking to you guys. So thank you.
And we'll close this out with Supermarket Fantasy by Screeching Weasel. And one more time for the record. Destroy Ourselves by the fake but real band Semi-Famous, John Jughead Pearson's new band, out July 26th via Rare Bird and the accompanying book. John, thanks again, and this is Supermarket Fantasy. We had to cut it short because John had to run off because he got engaged. I guess he's got plans for later on tonight.
Yeah.
But man, I tell you, breaking news.
That's so cool how it happened. It was like, oh my God.
I'm amazed that he was on the pod. You know, I was having a discussion with Em Moore about this last week about a different musician. You know, a lot of it's not just musicians, but it's musicians like, oh, I'm feeling, actually, I'm going to throw some shade. And this goes to this exact issue, Em.
Okay,
So,
let's
but I
hear
mean,
it.
like bands would be like, oh, I'm tired, or oh, can we reschedule? I want to go to McDonald's. Whereas I'm not going to go into detail. Well, last week I might have alluded to it, but like John's got engaged. He's like, no, I agreed to go on the Pung News podcast. I will go, even though I just got engaged. Sorry, brand new wife. I can't hang out with you during our day of engagement. I have to go talk to John, this knucklehead and M, for 30 minutes. So see you later, babe. So I don't know if that's a is that a testament to John Jughead or is that a testament to us and that's how strong of a force we are, Em.
Both. I think it's both.
Well said. Well
Yes.
said. Well, speaking of Ramones Corps, Em, I think I talked about
Ramones
on the
Corps.
podcast before, but it's the 50th anniversary of the Ramones, and so Summer Soiree 7 SSS has been announced. It's going to be July 27. I didn't realize that. How do you like that? July 27 in Philadelphia, warehouse at Philomoka, and it's going to be Joe, or rather Dan Jomar, which is Joe Jack Takaman and Dan of the Dead Milkmen with Marshall Fisher, three-piece electric band doing all Ramones, and not just Mikey Erg, M, the Mikey Erg band doing all of the second Ramones album, Leave Home, and the Ramones, which
Ooh.
are four moms that sing about being moms in a Ramones style. It's only $14. I realize I should have made the price $12.34, and I would have changed it. But a lot of people already paid the $14, so I thought it would be kind of bullshit if I lowered it now, you know.
Yeah.
And so man, I'm psyched. It's going to be rad. I was shocked that a lot of people didn't really get like I did a we're going to announce something cool tomorrow, and I did 1, 2, 3, 4, and then actually I'm going to read the description I put in. And I think no one got my clue. We'll see if you can get my clue, Em. Maybe you did or maybe you didn't, but I'm going to read this right
Okay.
now. And let's see here. Here's
Actually, there
my.
was someone who was really close in the comments because I did check. There's like
Right,
one
true.
person who was really close.
I think that's because the Facebook event page has been up for about 3 months now. But here's my clue, Em. I don't think anyone got my code here. Hey,
Okay.
we're going to announce something really, really cool tomorrow. However, it's centered around an anniversary. Let's. All guess what it could be. Go to punknews.org right here tomorrow at 12 noon Wednesday to find out. Did you get my clue, M?
That
No one got that. No one got that. Someone guessed, are you doing a festival with 1, 2, 3, 4 Go Records? They're like, no. But and a lot of people seem to think it must be Jawbreaker. I'm like, no, it's not Jawbreaker or Lagwagon. So, anyways, it was fun to have people guessing. It's going to be rad.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome, and that's what's going on. It's going to be cool as hell.
Very cool, very exciting. The poster is cool too, with all the Photoshopped like faces on
Thank you, thank you. I
the
worked on that for about 15 minutes. It came out pretty well, I thought. The Mikey Erg head looks kind of weird, and I'm not sure why.
It's a little stretched.
So I think it's maybe Mike's got like a weird shaped head, and it like doesn't fit. I don't know. So anyways, so yeah, so that's what's happening. So that's gonna be cool. I think the
Exciting
drawing's down
stuff.
now. $14, can't beat that, man. Let's see here. So what do we have to talk about news-wise? Oh, Red Cross has just put out a new is putting out a new album. They put out a new song. We actually talked about like kind of this before when Stephen McDonald Red Cross played like it on his Instagram, just like acoustically. I saw Red Cross at Punk Rock Bowling. They were awesome. This new track, I dig it. The video is cool. It's just them like in the Hollywood Hills, like playing the song and not really doing anything, but looking cool. Somehow Dale Crover hasn't aged in 25 years. I don't know how that works.
Vampire.
Could be. He's the only one wearing dark glasses. So I thought this track was real good. I think Red Cross is in a renaissance right now. Steve might be on the podcast, but the PR person is being kind of weird about it, which I'm like, well, I should not be airing my dirty laundry, but I'm going to
Maybe
because I'm half.
not.
It's like, I've interviewed Steve a bunch of times for Off. I mean, not for Off, for Off and some other stuff. And so I don't know, man. I think you could be cool about it. I mean, anyways.
Yeah.
So anyways, so yeah, man. I thought this track is really, really good. I think it's one of my favorite Red Cross tunes. What'd you think of them?
I thought the song was really good. I liked the video because it's just like they're having so much fun. There's a lizard at one point. There's like a hawk. There's a deer or two deers. Ah, it was neat. It was a good accompaniment to the song. I like the song. I haven't checked out the album yet though.
The
I will.
refrain is, are you friend or are you my foe? Which is a simple refrain, but I think it works like incredibly well on the in this song. I just think it's Red Cross doing what Red Cross does best, which is kind of like punk-ish AM flavored rock, and it's real good. Here's something that's not real
Yeah.
good, Em, but Em, check this out. We made an actual change out in the world, and then we're going to talk about someone that made an even bigger actual change out in the world.
Oh, cool. What do we do?
So anyways, so no, we've been talking about this at least the past couple of weeks on Punk News. Is No Values Fest was, I guess,
Oh,
2 or 3 weeks
yeah.
ago now, and people were caught in traffic jam for 3 hours, and someone in some Facebook group said, "I complained and I got $50 back," and after the person complained, No Values sent them an email, and in the email, of course, No Values, which is owned by Coachella, blamed some mysterious third party, which was probably the venue, but you're the one making the money. At the end of the day, you're responsible for F ups. You know what I mean? Like pointing a
Oh,
finger doesn't
100%.
get you off the hook. You're the one making millions and millions of dollars. So like it's like if a CEO's like is like blaming the economy, it's like, well, that's why you get millions of dollars, because you're supposed to be able to correct for those problems. If you the CEO, or if you Golden Voice, can just say if something goes bad, you say, well, it was them. Then anyone could do hypothetically what you're getting, and therefore you don't deserve the millions and millions and millions of dollars that you're getting. And Golden Voice doesn't. But that being said, Golden Voice is just being shitty and pointing fingers. Anyways, the point being is we
Yes.
posted about this, M, and you know what happened?
Wait, did everyone get like an actual payout?
A bunch of people in the hundreds emailed, because they saw our article, and they got $50 to $100 back, depending
Awesome.
on what level of tickle they bought. So does Golden Voice
Haha.
really care at the end of the day, because they probably made $100 million? No, but at least we got back $1,000.
It's a
So that
win.
it's a win. It's a win. So that was pretty cool, and that we kind of made some movement. You know what I mean?
Hell yeah.
But
Better than they did.
like I said, that's true. I will say though, it is depressing that like oh, and Golden Voice in the statement pretty much implied there is going to be a No Values too. And it is frustrating, despite the fact that everyone was annoyed by the short sets and by the fact that the short sets overlapped each other and the food was insanely expensive. Despite all that, they're going to have it again next year, and people are just going to buy tickets and sell it out again. So that is frustrating. You know what I mean, Em?
Oh, 100%.
But what, I
Yeah,
mean,
it's
what can we
like,
do? What can we do about it? Actually, here's the question, Em. What can we do about it? Like you and I. And what can you and I do about that? And then secondly, what can the general punk community do about it? And third question, will they do that about that?
I think what we can do is talk about it, share the stories, talk about it on the podcast, like, post about
Talk
it so people
smack.
know exactly, and shame them because shame works. It's
I don't think I actually disagree, because a certain presidential, former president and presidential candidate
well,
has been shamed nonstop, and it actually has increased his power instead of decreasing his power.
I think he's an exception. I think he has a kink for that.
Well, how about Martin Shkreli, one of the biggest dirty dogs in he doesn't care about getting shamed. We are living in this new world where like you can be evil and be hideous, and somehow people will see that as a testament of strength, I guess. You know what I mean? When really those guys really aren't that,
Yeah.
like if those guys really take heat, they cry like babies. You know what I mean? Like they're not tough,
Oh,
I
yeah,
don't know.
not even close. Like,
They're
no.
mentally tough though. And they're mentally tough that like Donald Trump is a super dirtbag, and but he's still doing his thing despite all the hurdles that he's faced. And I don't mean that in a positive way. I mean the eternal
No.
dirtbag. But like a lot of people under that level of pressure or scrutiny would just say, I don't even want to deal with it. But he eats it up. He's powered by it. You know what I mean?
I think that might be a like a deep-seated kind of issue kind of thing, because
So
it's
anyway,
like that's one of the trade hallmarks of like sociopaths, yeah, and psychopaths
I think he
and
probably is a
stuff.
sociopath, or that is, he truly does not have the ability to understand how his actions reflect affect other people's. Or just straight doesn't care. I mean, I don't really know what sociopath means. I don't think it means what I think it means, but I think there's something seriously wrong with them. You know what I mean?
I think sociopath fits because it's like,
So what is a sociopath? Like, what's the definition?
so it's basically like you don't really care about anything and you don't care. You're like, you see things as like power plays, basically. So it's like you're really good at lying, you're really good at like getting through kind of like roadblocks that way because you don't really have an idea of like a moral kind of compass. and stuff. It doesn't matter if you like step over other people don't really factor into it. You just kind of view them as pawns, and are just kind of like out for your own kind of gain,
And you
basically.
did a great job of tying this back in because and I think some people did point this out, but actually they did point out this fact, like No Values Fest is named after the Black Flag song No Values, of course, and they're talking about no moral compass. Having no moral compass is pretty much the same thing as having no values, and Golden Voice does have no values. You know what I mean? Like they don't yeah,
Yeah,
we're gonna
no.
charge you $45 for lunch and we don't give a shit. We're gonna take $300 and make you wait 3 hours to park. We don't give a shit. But like, and people said no values and that you don't get your money's worth, which is probably, well, maybe that's true, maybe that's not true, because you do get to see like Iggy Pop and the Misfits and all these bands all at once. You know what I mean? But I mean, it is kind of dirtbag, and it is interesting to me that no values is clearly kind of like we just want to take as much money from you as we can. That's our only goal. And people didn't see that as, I mean, I wonder if Golden Voice sees the name as ironic. Like, is it the kind of thing where they're making fun of you in their own name? You know what I mean?
I hadn't thought about it that way. I like that read on it. I'm gonna
I mean,
say
because why no
yes.
va like why no values instead of, I mean, any like let's look at any other like Gimme Fest or
Anarchy in LA.
Nervous Breakdown Fest, Damaged Fest,
Wait, isn't
any.
there a Damaged Fest?
There might be, I don't know. I
Yeah.
mean, but I mean, and if you would use any Black Flag song, which they were way down on the bill, which I thought was kind of weird too. Like not that it's just, I mean, it's not even really Black Flag, it's Greg Ginn, but like I did think it was weird. They named it after a Black Flag song, and the Black Flag was way down, like they didn't name it like Legacy of Brutality Fest or something,
That would be
or
cool.
yeah,
That
but
sounds cool.
Danzig, to his credit, I think is quicker in Legal Action in that respect. Not that Greg
Enough.
is not quick on the tr but he's not as skilled with it as Danzig is. At any rate, I don't know. I'm just so annoyed by Coachella. I don't even know why. Well, I do know why. Because it's $45 for lunch. That's why I'm annoyed. That's why I am. But anyways, so anyway, we at least made somewhat of a change, Em. But here's another band that made a change. So Scowl and Speed and Zulu dropped off
And
Download
pest
Fest, which I
control.
and Pest Control. I don't even know why it's called Download Fest, which seems like a weird name in 2024. Like no one downloads anything anymore, It should be called Stream Fest. At any rate,
Ew.
Golden Stream Fest.
Perfect.
So they dropped off the fest because the festival is run by Live Nation, right? Live Nation, right?
Live Nation is one of the main sponsors, and I don't know
Well,
if they
yeah,
run it.
is Live Nation even a sponsor, or are they like the ticket? They're probably the ticket operator, and that like I don't think Live Nation is giving money to Download Fest. Although actually
I
they
don't
might. I
think
mean,
so. I'm actually not sure how that the
we can
structure there works.
put an asterisk next to it. If we have time, I'll actually explain this weird thing that a lot of people don't know with ticket service companies that I'll explain to you if we have time. At any rate,
Sure.
so Live Nation is Live Nation is sponsored by Barclays Bank, which is bizarre. It's like, oh, I'm gonna buy tickets to see out of the Who. Oh, Barclays Bank. Oh, I'll use them too because I bought tickets to see that. Like, I always think like I feel like money thrown down the drain. Like a bank sponsoring like live. It's bizarre. At any rate, Scal and some other bands don't like that Barclays is a money lender to companies that supply arms to Israel in the Israel-Palestine conflict. And so Scal said, well, we're not playing the fest, and so does Zulu and Speed and a bunch of other bands. And they say, we're dropping off. And that attached with some heat that Live Nation got in 2023 in regards to a different festival,
Great Escape.
Great Escape. This is insane, Em. It caused Live Nation to drop Barclays as a sponsor and presumably refund all their money. Which that's insane, man, because I can guarantee. Actually, they might even say how much that sponsorship was. Was it 5 million? Am I making that number up? No, 5 year deal. So
5 years, yeah.
that sponsorship, I don't know. It's got to be in the tens of millions, maybe in the hundreds of millions of dollars. So wherever you land on this complex argument, whatever, but it is amazing that Scal, this tiny band, which yes, Scal is the biggest band of punk rock, but the fact of the matter is, compared to Green Day, they're tiny, and Green Day compared to Taylor Swift is minuscule. Scal was able to affect a tens or hundreds of million dollars of change in Live Nation. How crazy is that, Em? That's crazy. That's crazy.
That's really, really cool. And I don't think that it's just Scowl alone, because there is a Instagram account called Boycott Barclays that started kind of around the Great Escape time. And they've been like documenting everything and like, being like, hey guys, maybe don't. How about we like boycott and band together? So I think a lot of bands are following that and seeing what's going on and being like, oh yeah, well, we can do that. We have a platform and we're going to use it. And with Scowl Zulu Speed and Pest Control, they like did their own thing. Like they had a benefit show where they raised money for like Palestinian Children's Fund, I think. So it's like they're, and then a bunch of people who were playing the festival like donated their fees and they did a bunch of stuff like that if they weren't able to drop out. And then when the sponsorship was done away with, like there were a bunch of bands who were like, well, I'm gonna walk if you don't do this, So it was really good to see like all of that like just amplify and amplify and like whoever it started with and then the next person and then the next person, then the next person. They all put out their very like their own unique statements with the same sentiment, obviously, but like it's just so cool to see how that can really spread and affect change. 'Cause it's like boycotts work. Like it's pressure, right? Like you need that.
A lot of people were like, oh, empty gesture, blah, blah, blah. But it is
Nope.
refreshing that you can make a change. That's crazy. I mean, a multi-million dollar change.
Yeah.
Oh, we're Ticketmaster. We're going to give everyone a $2 credit to go see Toby Keith if they want.
Ugh.
Like a multi-million dollar. That's crazy. However, Em,
Amazing.
I'm going to play somewhat of devil's advocate here. A lot of people had a lot of
Okay.
feelings on this Barclay Bank thing. How come those same people didn't have that same feeling with No Values Fest, who donate lots of money to anti-LGBTA organizations?
I was not aware that they did that.
So I
I
the
was
point
not aware of that. That
the point
sucks.
and well
Well, it's like
he,
Chick-fil-A, but everyone
it,
knows that.
but Chick-fil-A's so tasty, Em. It's so tasty.
Ew, gross.
Chick-fil-A's delicious. But it also goes, like, how many bands have t-shirts made in Madagascar or t-shirts made in Sri Lanka? That's all sweatshop shit, you know what I mean? Alternative Tentacles does not, and Steven Universe is not. Pretty much everyone else does. The point being is, you can take, and I do kind of agree with the Jell-O argument in that, like, doing something beats doing nothing 100% of the time, and he's totally right about that. But on the other hand, I am a little annoyed that certain issues get, like, this is the one that counts. And if you don't agree with us on this, or if you don't, stand behind this one, you're a dirtbag. When other ex equally valid issues, such as anti-LGBTA things, sweatshop things, like, it sometimes it does feel like cause of the month. I feel like everyone forgot about Ukraine. They're still getting blasted by Putin, who's pretty evil and is trying to wipe them out. You know what I mean? So, like, I do feel like people do have cause of the month syndrome. And I'm not saying that the bands involved in this are hypocritical. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, why? Well, I don't know. Maybe they are being hypocritical, but everyone's a hypocrite to a degree. I mean, I gotta say, man, donating money to anti-LGBTA is kind of, it's pretty lame, and that's exactly what the owner of Golden Voice does every year. So why isn't he getting put on blast? You know what I mean?
I really didn't know that. Like, that's terrible. That should be everywhere, honestly.
But you know what's funny is, it's like, let's say, I mean, he is, but so the guy that owns Golden Voice, Philip
Yeah.
Anschultz is his name. Like, I guess he hates gay people or whatever, but it's like, he's a businessman. So is it really that important to him to, like, risk his like, all, and this is the truth. Super rich business guys, and I've dealt with a lot of them 2 jobs ago. I'm talking bi millionaires to billionaires, super rich guys. The only thing they really care about is money. And the way they get money is they work all the time. And they have no concept of doing unto others. That's how they get rich, okay?
Right.
And so they really don't have values. Like I've said before, I've had old clients where they get screwed over by some guy and they're furious. I'm like, yeah, this guy's an asshole. Let's go get him. And then they'll screw someone else over the exact same way, which kind of astounds me. You know what I mean? The point
Yeah.
being is, let's say this guy, Philip Anschultz, does hate gay people. Like, you care about hating gay people more than you care about money? And I think the answer is, you probably care about money more. So why are you donating to all these, like, anti-gay causes? Let's say you're Philip Anschultz and you do hate gay people, then just hate gay people privately and just keep your money. What's the need there? You know what I mean? Like, why jeopardize your business? I guess the only answer is, you hate gay people that much. And sometimes when people really, 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 really hate gay people, it implies something else, Em, if you know what I'm saying. If people wake
Yeah,
up
that's what I was gonna say.
thinking about how much I don't wake up thinking about how much I hate gay people, Em. I don't donate money, but if you're thinking about gay people all the time and you're a rich dude, and if you're married, if you're not married, and you can have not any woman you want, but a lot of, like, if you're a super rich guy, you can get a lot of girls or women, and you're still thinking about gay
Hopefully,
people.
women, not girls.
Well, I mean,
Yeah.
I still call girls girls when I mean like 25, 30, 35, whatever. But I
Yeah.
mean, like, and you're still thinking about gay people? That says something, Em. I feel like that says something. You know what I mean?
And there's nothing wrong with exploring that if that's what's on your
Yeah.
mind.
There's nothing wrong with exploring it, but there is something wrong with targeting those people
Oh, 100%.
that you appear to hate so much with a vengeance. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. No, I have no respect for people who do that. It's like, nope. Do you know people who've gone through conversion therapy? Like, do you know who, like, people who were forced through it? Yeah, no, you don't get to talk. You don't get to donate your money to this, like, horrific thing. You don't get to, do
I'm
anything.
just saying,
Like, they
man.
deserve to be flung into the sun.
I'm just saying, if you go around thinking about gay people all the time, that's suspect. You know what I mean? And I think if you're going around thinking about gay people all the time, you need to be honest with yourself and stop inflicting that internal angst on external people. And that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
That's what I'm saying.
exactly.
It's kind of weird, man. Kind of weird, Em. So anyway, Em, should we put these bands on blast for being hypocritical, or what do we do? What do we do?
Don't. I think with the Barclays thing, it's been very public. Like, it's been made very public. I wouldn't have known about this if, like, I hadn't found, like, the Instagram account. And I only found out about that because one of the bands that I follow, I think it was Pillow Queens, dropped off Great Escape and they shared something by it. And I'm like, what's this? And then I learned about it and was like, oh wow, that's really bad. I didn't know the thing about the Golden Voice guy because I haven't seen anything about that. I haven't seen any kind of stuff. So I think it's really getting the information out there and using social media in that way, like in that way that is good. Because then people know, and then people can be like, well, okay, fuck you. Or, I don't agree with what you're doing, so I'm gonna pull my thing and, do a fundraiser that like raises money for like good LGBTQ plus organizations or whatever. So I think it's just information.
Can we come up with a better acronym than LGBTQA plus? It's just so long, Em. Can we just
Oh, and that's not the full one.
let's see, LGBTQA plus. There's got to be a simpler way. Can we just say like, well, queer? I guess queer used to be an offensive term, and now people just use the word non-offensively. Maybe we
Well,
should just use the
yeah, it's
word
been
queer.
reclaimed.
Queer. I mean, that's better than LGBTQA plus.
It's the umbrella term, right?
How about we go back to, was it Friends of Judy or something like that? I think that's what
Yeah,
it is.
it's Friends of Dorothy.
Friends of
Yeah.
Dorothy. How
Yeah.
about that? We just call them Friends of Dorothy.
That
But listen, man, here's something
sounds
that's
like a
not lame.
cool secret society.
Friends of Dorothy.
Like
Here's
it.
something that's not lame and something's very cool. M talks about Le Cibou Grand.
Yeah, oh God, when was it? Like 2 years ago? 1 year ago? 2 years
We should
ago,
have her back
probably.
on.
Yeah, we had Taylor on from Le Cibou Grand, and she was great. And they're an awesome band. And they just announced they're going to be releasing their debut album, which is very exciting because up to this point, they've just been releasing singles. So a lot of the singles like they've released are on the album. Like there's Hot Glue Gun, there's Not Sweet Enough, which also has like a stringed version by the punk cellist, which is pretty cool. There's I'm Not Sorry and We Fucking Suck. So those are like previously released singles that are on the album. And then obviously like a bunch of new stuff. So they just released a video for Anarchy, which is their new song. I like the song. It's cool. It kind of has like I don't know, a new wave kind of post-punky thing. The Woes are really catchy. It's like a mix of a bunch of other stuff too. Like there's some pop and whatever. I don't know. I like the song. The song's really good. The bass line's awesome. Taylor's voice is great. And the video is really, really good. So it's like a Jetsons thing. So she's in this like cartoon world and is like what's the name? I wrote it down because I Judy Jetson.
She's in the Jetsons, and she's hanging out with Rosie the robot, who is now working for Amazon. And then she convinces Rosie the robot to become an anarchist. And then she and Rosie the robot destroy capitalist society. And it's pretty rad.
Yeah, and there's like the little Fight Club thing at the end, which is so cool. Oh, it's so good. I'm looking forward to more of our videos. All their videos have been really good so far too. Like, oh, the exercise video, that was fun. The We Fucking Suck video is a lot of fun. I don't know. I'm looking forward to more from this band. The band rocks. John, what do you make of the new stuff?
Le Cibo Grand is one of my favorite M Moore bands. I think they're super clever, super punk, and pretty unique. I think the video is hilarious because she is really good at doing like the 90s musical video thing, which is honestly, I think, inspired by the B-52s, where it's like a fake version of reality that is like overly plastic, and she's like smiling like really big the whole time, but like a f fake smile. And I think the song is cool. I think it almost has sort of a No Doubt feel to it, almost a little bit.
Yeah, I could see that.
I think like Cibo Grand is awesome. I think it's cool they're on Kill Rock Stars, and I think we should have her on back on the podcast. And it's real cool. I dig this a lot. I think Cibo Grand's cool. Maybe we'll end the episode with one of their tracks. I think we should. Actually,
Anarchy?
we're flying through tonight's episode for sure. So here's the last story. I don't know if we want to talk about anything else. UK subs have released a recording of their final show. You wouldn't know it by looking at the package, but the final show was October 1, 2023. You would have thought they would put that on the package instead of just calling it the last will and testament of the UK subs, and not even pointing out that it's a live record or the final live out the final show by UK subs. At any rate,
Yeah.
the actual material is great. It's out on Cleopatra, and UK subs are rad. This is a cool recording. Charlie sounds great. It's raw and ragged like the UK sub should be. And it just goes to show how puzzling Cleopatra Records is, in that like Cleopatra puts out some absolute garbage. This is not garbage. This is a really cool product, if you will, or record. But then the cover and title are just so confusing. It's like I wish whoever came up with the idea explained to the person. I wish whoever came up with the idea for the album cover and the title, I wish someone had said, here's why the UK subs are important. This is their last show. I get it, you're calling their last will and testament because it's the last show, but you might want to make that clear on the package. You know what I mean? So I
Yeah.
feel like I made it, had no idea. And so the point being is Cleopatra puts out some junk and some rad stuff. This is rad. It's just done in, I would say, a little bit too quick shot of a fashion. You know what I mean? Like, I think they would have been better with like a live shot, that says, you could even call it the last one testing UK subs, the final show or something like that. You know what I mean? I just feel like it's
Yeah.
confusing.
It just needs a little something extra.
But the record's cool, man. And I mean, it's awesome that
Yeah.
we live in an age where it is so cheap to put out music, and that something like this gets documented. Like, that's pretty cool, you know?
Very, very cool. Yeah, they just sound great. Like, it's like to be a band for that long and then have your last show be that like powerful and energetic, you know? Like, that's really saying something. Like, no one's mailing her in. It's great.
Yeah, Charlie Harper's amazing. I don't know. Anything else you want to talk about? We're actually done ahead of schedule, which is very unusual for us.
Oh shit, we didn't have like a wait, we need to have like a 40-minute rant about something.
Yeah, I guess I know that. Well, I could rant about a bunch of stuff, but I'll just get myself in more trouble. I don't know, Sloppy Seconds is re-releasing their first incredible record. That's going to be out via Puke and Vomit / Radiation Records. Use that record's going for $100 each right now, even the
Oh my
reissues.
God.
So I'm glad they're reissuing it for like $25. Very reasonable. So that's rad. It's an awesome record. There's a new Jay Hairpins record coming out. I'm
Oh,
interviewing them
yeah.
tomorrow, and we're gonna tack that onto
Nice.
the podcast. We're gonna have X Cops on the show pretty soon, I think next week. I already talked to Em about this, but we are finally through the blockade, and episode 650 has finally been posted, and now we're back on track. And we're finally out of the hole, Em. It feels good, Em. It feels real good that we're out of the hole finally.
Yes, we're back. We're caught up.
We're back. Do you think
Hell
we should retcon
yeah.
our numbers or just stay with the numbers that we have? Because even though we're at like 653, really we're more at like 693.
I think we should keep them as they are because I think it's
I
fun.
agree. I agree 100%. And I mean, we've done mid numbers many times before. You know what I mean?
Oh,
So just
yeah.
this one's a little bit longer, but we did it, Em. We're here. We did it.
Yes. There, it was successful overall.
Anything else you want to talk about, or should we wrap it up?
Yeah, I have two. I have my first, well, I have my longest interview I've ever done that's up on Punk News right now. It's two parts, baby. That's with Aki and James of Newhouse Studios. They just announced a new comp called Trans Rights 2. We're not asking, or we are no longer asking, sorry. And it's re like the comp's really good. You should order it, pre-order it, buy it, whatever, engage with it. Lots of great musicians on it, lots of great songs, like, and you're supporting good causes. But yeah, they're awesome people. They are in a bunch of other really cool bands, and the studio rules. They have a great mission, and they are working to uplift trans and queer musicians, give them safe spaces, and yeah, they're just a lot of fun. I had to cut out a lot of Fred Durst jokes, so we got a couple
Why?
in there.
Why'd you cut him out?
Because edited, it was 37 pages, and each
Wow.
part is about 18.
How many
So
were there?
it was, oh, I have no idea. I didn't do the total word count.
You should.
I, you know what? 1 minute. I'm gonna do that right now because I want to know how much do you, because I have my word thingy, my Google Doc. How much do you think it's gonna be?
37 pages. I'll
It's
say
37 pages total. Obviously, it's not all in one.
what
Not
I mean,
tools.
that's like 37,000 words. It couldn't be that long.
It is. Oh, my goodness. Okay. It's 19,000
Wow.
650.
And that's one fourth of a novel.
Holy, I didn't realize it was that long. But I'm really proud of it though. It's one of my top ones. I love talking with them and I think it turned out really well. And
Well, go check out both parts right now at punknews.org.
there's another one coming out probably by the time you'll hear this, which is pretty cool too. Do I
Well,
have
there
a
you have it.
hint?
Throw him a
I
hint,
can't
Emma.
think of a good hint. Okay, let's come up with one.
Let's see here.
So it's a solo record, and the person who's putting out the solo record has been in multiple very, very influential bands, and is
Is
also
it
part of a super group that formed during the pandemic.
Dream Car? Or did you interview Dream Car?
I didn't interview Dream Car this time.
And that's too vague. You got to give them some kind of a clue they can latch on to.
Last name starts. No, that's silly. My hair is green. This person's last name is green. Oh. There's a frog on the album cover. I don't remember what number it is for like solo albums, but I think it might be the 10th one. That might be wrong. Did that make it any clearer?
Not really. Let me see if I can come up with a good clue. Let me see here. And
Okay.
then you can always reach at punknews.org. Em's been doing a whole bunch of contests too. So there's lots of free stuff
Yes.
you can win. Let's see
Tickets
here.
and stuff. Yeah, the GTA is popping off. Oh,
GTA.
single Greater Toronto Area. Also, single mothers. Yeah.
I will. Here we go. Let's see here. I will say that the hint is it's kind of about living, if you get that. There's your hint. There's your hint. About living.
That's good.
So yeah, cool. All right, let's wrap it off. Let's play some Le Cibu Grand. This is Aaron.
Yeah.
And we'll see you next week now that we're back on track, baby. We got obviously an interview with the Melvins coming up. We've got an interview with who we just talked to, Em?
John
Cunts. I don't think I'm supposed
Jughead?
to do that. John Jughead. Well, no, that's this one. They've heard that, Em.
Oh. Oh
But anyway,
yeah,
all
cunts.
right.
I forgot about them.
There's a bunch of stuff coming up. We'll see you next week. This is the Punk News Podcast. Podcast at punknews.org. This is the Cebu Gras doing anarchy. Bye.